हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनोभुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, 15:17. Besides these two, there is the greatest living personality, the Supreme Soul, the imperishable Lord Himself, who has entered the three worlds and is maintaining them. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in everyone's heart as Paramatma. The idea of this verse is very nicely expressed in the Katha Upanishad 2:2-13 and Sveta Svatara Upanishad 6:13. It is clearly stated there that above the innumerable living entities, some of whom are conditioned and some of whom are liberated, there is a Supreme Personality who is Paramatma. The Upanishadic verse runs as follows, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam. The purport is that amongst all the living entities, both conditioned and liberated, there is one Supreme Living Personality, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who maintains them and gives them all the facility of enjoyment according to different work. That Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in everyone's heart as Paramatma. A wise man who can understand him is eligible to attain perfect peace, not others. The Lord is Paramatma, then He's giving all the facility for the other living entities, conditioned or liberated, so that whatever, according to their work. Right? So if their work is pious, they get that result. Their work is impious, they get that result. If it's devotional, they get that result. Right? So Paramatma then, in everyone's heart, is taking care of that. So then that's the localized. But we see here is the activity is the prominent. The other is the situation. So this is the activity.
Right. So it means Paramatma is in charge of the world of karma?
He's, you know, overseeing ultimately, but Maya manages it.
So he's sanctioned.
He's sanctioned, yeah. But it's not necessarily that I say each item has to be sanctioned as it happens. You know what I'm saying? It's that particular activity has been sanctioned if they have this particular qualification. You know, just like someone in the office, you come in and you make your application. If you have the qualifications, you get because they've been authorized by the person who's running that office. But the person running the office, their authority comes from whoever is sanctioning them. You know what I'm saying? And so they're able to pass that down. So Maya, she manages everything. The super soul is there as the witness. You know, just seeing everything is going nicely. But she actually manages.
Yeah. So can we say that one is direct and one is indirect? Like,
well, it means it's the Lord's potency and it's His laws. So that's the superior element. Right, the potency behind it. The other one is therefore based on that, creating the forms and situations that one would deserve according to one's work. That would be the aspect. But as far as hands-on manager, and the Maya is the one that's doing that, and the Lord is not. So in that way He's not involved, but at the same way it's His potency that makes it work. You know, just like, let's say, the governor of the state, it's by his authority that the prison is running. But it's not that he's there in the prison making every decision. You know, should we lock the door? Should we open the door?
Yeah.
You know, like that. That's being managed by the warden. Right? But it's only because the governor has given the approval. He's giving that potency. Right? So the funding, you know, the manpower, their, you know, mandate, you know, the laws that they follow, everything like that. And they just execute it. So they're qualified, so they're expert at it. So then that's why. So Maya is, he's qualified and expert at managing the material phenomena. Okay. Yes.
Could we say that when something happens that we would maybe classify as kind of a miracle, that maybe that is when Krishna's Bhagavan is overriding Maya?
No, because he never has to override
they're
Maya.
They're always imperfect.
Yeah, but it's that the miracle, it just means that situation has arisen.
The question was actually on, are they always agreeing on what has to go on, Maya or the demigods?
Yeah, because there's no disagreement.
It's just, okay.
Maya never has a problem. Indra might, but Maya doesn't. You know, she's on a superior level because she's not Jiva.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
She's just the transformation of Yoga Maya, of Mahamaya. Mm. Yeah. Just like the transformation of Vishnu, Shiva.
Mm.
So then Shiva and Mahamaya are together.
Mm.
You know, and Vishnu and Yoga Maya.
Mm.
Okay.
That's it.
Maharaj, the thing that binds him in fight is connected to the nature of divine and demoniac.
Divine and demoniac, pious and impious, basically. But you can also say you would say pious and impious is divine and demoniac, like that, on your general term.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, that's if you're within the material world, you're defining what's pious and what's impious. So it's pious because it's connected to the Lord, meaning it's according to Shastra. You know, so it's according to authority. But it's not necessarily recognizing the Lord as the Supreme Person and therefore doing it for His pleasure. If that's seen, then that's actual, the purpose of piety.
Mm.
You know, so there's piety, then there's real piety.
Mm.
You know, there's impiety, and then, you know, there's... So, being done to please the Lord as a person, that's then the real piety. So that's devotional service. Being done because that's just the good thing to do or the right thing to do, it's pious. So it is pious. But it's piety will keep you within the material world. Right? The other one, the piety, will take you beyond the material world.
So the element there is piety is conducive to...
Piety is conducive because it's the same medium that you would use for devotional service. You know what I'm saying? Like that. You know, it's just like you had the knife, you had the potatoes, told them to cut it in a certain way, and they cut it. Each one is bigger and smaller than the other in a different shape. Right? So it's not that to do it right, you need to use a different knife.
Mm-hmm.
No, the same knife is used, it's just done used properly. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we'll have the ideas that no, the spiritual is completely different. But that's meaning we think that the material energy is its own entity.
Mm-hmm.
You know it is separate from the Lord. So it's actually an illusion that. That's why then the Mayavad philosophy is still material. Because they think it's spiritual has to be a different form and a different activity.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. The principle is the same. It's still the same form and same activity. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know what the you know the boys do here playing with each other out in the field is the same what Krishna and his friends do playing out in the field. So the forms and activities are the same. Right? It's just who it's done to please. If it's done to please Krishna, that's one thing. It's not done to please Krishna, that's mundane.
That will be the ultimate piety. Right?
Yeah. So the form doesn't change. That's why in tradition there's certain forms that are recommended because those are the best forms you could use. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like saying, okay, you know, here's a very nice, you know, first class, very sharp knife. You know, just been sharpened and everything. Use this to cut your vegetables. No, but it's Kali Yuga. We can't use these things. That's too much trouble. You know, it's big and that. You know, in this age, we have to use a butter knife. That would be practical. You know what I'm saying? That's what they're saying. No, it's the superior thing. It means the butter knife may be easy. You won't cut yourself on the butter knife, right? It's easier to, you know, it's easy to hold. It's small. It's light. But the work it does isn't very good. So all these things that the Western culture says are quick and light and efficient, it's like the butter knife. It doesn't actually do that great a job. It may seem like it right now, but you know, just down the line, it doesn't work. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, does that make sense? You know, so it's just, it seems the practical thing to do. Oh. Got up to the tree, came in, talking on the phone, and then stopped, and then turned around.
This is not where I live.
Yeah. So the they're used because they're efficient, right? It means the great saints and sages aren't stupid. They're the most intelligent. So the reason they choose things are because they work very nicely. So if you're not worried about that longer term effect, you know, a better effect, and you don't mind the small difficulties that come up constantly from using a shorter term cycle of activity, then go ahead. But if at some point that bothers you, then you would want to adjust that. That's all they're doing. It's not that only if you do it this way then it's right, and if you do it, no, there's right for everything. Just like there's a right way to, you know, put the two wires into the lock to pick it. You know what I'm saying? So it's a smaller thing. But you can do that, you pick the lock, it's very efficient, you got in the room. But, you know, also along with that is that, you know, you were doing that to get some money so you could live your life, but then, you know, so you were looking for a free handout. So you could say in that way it was very efficient, because when the police catch you, then you get, you know, you get put in jail, and they take care of your food, your clothes, everything, you know. So it's like, you know, so maybe in that way you could say, yeah, it was efficient. It got you, you know, a place, you know, food and board, you know, like that. So, you know, so it's it's just a misunderstanding of what's there. But the point is they're giving these things because those work in also specific situations. So if the situation adjusts, then you have to adjust the application. But what's missed is that, no, this form's Vedic, this form's not Vedic. No, it's the principle that's being given, that's what's Vedic. Because the principle works. Anything other than the principle will not work. And there is a if it's a natural situation, it's a natural choice, right? But if it's not there, then you use whatever will work. You know what I'm saying? That makes sense. Okay, 15:18. Because I am transcendental beyond both the fallible and the infallible, and because I am the greatest, I am celebrated both in the world and in the Vedas as that Supreme Person. No one can surpass the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one can surpass the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, neither the conditioned soul nor the liberated soul. He is therefore the greatest of personalities. Now it is clear here that the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are individuals. The difference is that the living entities, either in the conditioned state or in the liberated state, cannot surpass in quantity the inconceivable potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is incorrect to think that the Supreme Lord and the living entities as being on the same level or equal in all respects. There's always the question of superiority and inferiority between the personalities. The word uttama is very significant. No one can pass the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here we're talking about directly the person, right? The others we're talking about his position of authority, right? His potency. Right? So that's Paramatma. He's still a person, but then when we talk about this aspect, then we're talking about the personality of Godhead. So sometimes it may go back and forth. You know, just like, you know, Krishna, those verses before us, talking about, you know, himself, and then talking about Paramatma, and then talking this and that. You know, it goes back and forth, yes.
Does he think I am the greatest?
And he's, are we saying it with that Muhammad Ali?
I
mean,
I just started thinking as Krishna, I am the greatest.
It depends where he is. As God, he doesn't have to. Who's to impress? You know what I'm saying? So it's just like there's no question of it. But let's say when he's with his friends and they're wrestling or something, then if he wins, then he may say, I am the greatest. But then at the same time, as if his friends win, they say they're the greatest. So, like that.
And we say that those who want to put everybody on an equal level, so-called, it's coming from an impersonal aspect.
Yeah, yeah. Because you notice that the common level is always that the small is always qualified to be the big. They're never saying the big is the small.
Yeah,
right?
It's going on the business.
It's only going up like that. You know, it's not even that I have to become, I already am.
Yeah.
You know, like that. So it's yeah. Yeah, it's that impersonal. Because the point is people are different. You know? Even if they're equals, they're still different in what they can do. You know, someone would be more expert at this, someone at that, someone, you know. So you even have a group of friends, but each one has something unique. So there's always difference. So that's always there. So it's being brought out here is they're not bringing out too much the difference or the same. They're bringing out that there's a common position, you know, common qualities, but there's always a difference in quantity. So qualitatively there's a oneness, but quantitatively there's not. So the same qualities are there. That's why they can relate. You know, like, you know, if you have yourself and let's say a wombat or something, you know, it might be very difficult to relate.
I don't even know what it is.
See, you know.
Case in point.
Yeah. Right? So the point is, the more there's commonality of qualities, then there can be, they can relate. Is that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there has to be something in common. You know, the bull likes walking through the field, but walking through the field, it moves the underbrush, and so the bugs come out. And so then the crane likes also walking through the field with the bull, because then all the bugs come out and there's something to eat. So there's common ground. You know, so the bull walking through the field is the common ground. You know. Does that make sense? He gets somewhere and they get lunch, so, you know, everybody benefits. There has to be common ground.
The bug doesn't benefit so much.
They're generally left out of the discussion. They don't feature in this discussion. All you could say is there's common ground also with the bugs. He doesn't like the bulls and he doesn't like the cranes.
Maybe he gets the better position.
Hmm? Maybe, because if he thinks of one or the other of them, then
And then there's the common ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. Philosophy.
Yes.
Grain today with a bag tomorrow.
Yeah. No, generally it goes the other way. You generally move up.
Yeah, I mean that realm, yeah. Then you move down, always up.
Yeah, because it's you don't move down, you always move up.
How did they get down in the first place? They start as Brahman, right?
You know, the guys when they get down. So from doing that, then the reaction of that is then they end up with that particular kind of animal that they're getting down with as.
Okay.
That's how it works.
Okay.
And then slowly, slowly, by living in those lifetimes, so many of those, then you slowly get back up again.
Okay.
But the downside is that when you do get back up to human species, you get put back in the same exact situation you were in before when you were getting down.
People ask, where have you been? And you say, don't ask.
So it's the same thing. So that's where I was thinking, oh, Kali Yuga, it's so different, it's so not Vedic. Every Kali Yuga is exactly the same thing. Because the point is how long does somebody last? Right, you know, one lifetime and you're off to hell, basically. You know, so then that means then you come back and you'll be in exactly the same position. Now, you know, you'll probably do pretty much the same thing again. You know, you might make a little adjustment. So slowly, slowly, then you've decided, you know, you don't like McDonald's, now you like Wimpy's. You know, so like that. You know, it shifts over a little bit, but you know, still basic result is the same.
Yeah. So the soul doesn't necessarily go all the way down to the lowest form of life in your code.
No, it just goes down to whatever matches their activity.
So to go all the way down, you have to be really.
No, you just have to be that particular nature that is like that. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm saying, in other words, we're discussing it by facts, so you don't want to connect the emotions to it. The emotions, oh, you got to be really, really bad, you know, like that, you know. Does that make sense? So, the difficulty is the guy that's bad to the bone may not end up with something that has bones, you know, so. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, because having bones generally means you're a little bit higher in life in the, what do you call it? The food chain. Yeah. I mean, that'll come up when you get into modern. It'll explain who eats who. Like that. Okay, so we see here this is the element. Do we catch that? It means here, so like no one can surpass the Supreme Personality. Mm. You know, can see potencies, he's incorrect to think, you know, same level in all respects. So he's talking about the personal. Here he's saying the Supreme, you know, his position. He gives them all the facility of enjoyment according to work. Right? If you're talking about just the relationship with the living entity, you're talking about the personality. If you're talking about how he's controlling and giving facility to the living entities, then that's Paramatma. And if we're just discussing, you know, creation and the, you know, qualities of things, the majesty, the power, the potency, then we're talking about Brahman. Mm. You catch? Those. Yeah. Mm. Lesson 10, right? Because that was lesson 9, which was Sri Krishna is perceived by the transcendentalist in his three transcendental features, namely, one, impersonal Brahman, two, his plenary portion, Paramatma, and three, Purushottama, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lesson 10. The impersonal Brahman is his transcendental effulgence, comprised of spiritual rays. 5.12. The splendor of the sun, which dissipates the darkness of this whole world, comes from me. And the splendor of the moon and the splendor of fire are also from me. All light comes from the Lord. Sunlight is due to the spiritual effulgence in the spiritual sky of the Supreme Lord. With the rise of the sun, the activities of human beings are set up. They set fire to prepare their foodstuffs. They set fire to start the factories, etc. So many things are done with the help of fire. Therefore, sunrise, fire, and moonlight are so pleasing to the living entities. Without their help, no living entity can live. So if one can understand that the light and splendor of the sun, moon, and fire are emanating from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, then one's Krishna consciousness will begin, because everything's working by that. Mm-hmm. By the moonshine, all the vegetables are nourished. The moonshine is so pleasing that people can easily understand that they are living by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Without his mercy, there cannot be sun. Without his mercy, there cannot be moon. Without his mercy, there cannot be fire. Without the help of sun, moon, and fire, no one can live. These are some thoughts to provoke Krishna consciousness in the conditioned soul. 13, footnote 13. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan writes in his commentary to verse 10:12. Krishna says, "Know that the light situated in the sun, in the moon, and in the fire, which illuminates the whole universe, belongs to me. Actions for attaining the jiva's enjoyment, according to his karma, are accomplished by the light of the sun, which has risen, and the fire, which is blazing. These actions are causes of happiness and destroy darkness and lethargy of the jiva. When moon rises, there is nourishment of herbs, dissipation of heat and pain, and relaxation in the moonlight. The light which produces these effects in the sun, moon, and fire is my vibhuti of light." Right, so that's coming from the Brahma Jyoti, so that the light of the Brahma Jyoti. So in other words, the Brahma Jyoti is that effulgence, but it's the effulgence of the qualities. So therefore, the Brahma the Brahman platform is the qualities, but the activity of it then is the Brahma Jyoti.
Again?
It means it's the light of the Brahma Jyoti.
The qualities is the Brahman.
Means you have Brahma Jyoti is Brahman, but there's the two aspects, the qualities themselves, the generic qualities that are not personalized, and then the effulgence of those qualities.
Yeah. So when
you understand, so even within Brahman, you have these two aspects. You know what I'm saying? You have the male and female, or the active part and the passive part.
So one could be attracted to the Brahman without actually completely realizing what it is that is attractive, what qualities it is, and that would be the Brahma Jyoti that one
receives. It means, but that's the way it is. It's not, one could be, one is only attracted to Brahman in everything, but one is not understanding. So it's the quality or it's the form and activity, but all that's still Brahman. You know, that level of it. But the managing of it, the actual decision making in it, that's Paramatma.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But the quality there is Brahman. The effulgence of that will be the forms and the activities that accomplish that. You know, so that'll be the feminine aspect of it. So there's always masculine and feminine. All right? So but when you decide I want to be involved in that, so now what action to do, what's right action, wrong action, sanctioning of that action, that's all Paramatma. Right? But it means, in other words, because 15th chapter, here we see that there are some, you know, and here some elements where he's bringing out of the universal form in Paramatma with Bhagavan, explaining all those things. I think this is something of the Supreme Person, isn't it? That's the chapter.
Of life and the radiant sun in the 10th chapter.
Yeah, so you have that. Though the major amounts of the universal form are described in these, I think, 7th, 10th, and 11th. But here in 15th, some other. But this is being brought out to establish the Supreme Person.
Yeah.
I think it's called, this is Purushottam Yoga, I think.
Yoga, the Supreme Person.
Yeah. Is that okay? So it's just, they're all the same things, it's just there's different angles that they're each approaching. You know, like that one before, I forget what chapter it was, I think it was 10th. He was saying that these are all the prominent manifestations. Like that. But in the other chapters, there's another approach that's being used in explaining it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Another interesting point from the 15th, he says, I'm the fire of digestion. So
yeah, fire of digestion. So fire is everything. Yeah, even if you say, no, but we go out at night, we go to the nightclub, there's no sun or moon there, but there's electricity.
Yeah.
You know, if there was no electricity, probably not a whole lot would be going on. You know, maybe a barn dance, it wouldn't be a disco. And probably. Yeah? You know, and the barn dance guys wouldn't mind going out in the moonlight. And they're very happy when the sun comes out because they can grow stuff.
Like the moonshine.
Yeah, yeah. Then you have the moonshine. Yeah, it's all connected. And 1427, and I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman, which is immortal, imperishable and eternal, and is the constitutional position of ultimate happiness. Both Paramatma and the impersonal Brahman are within Krishna. The constitution of Brahman is immortality, imperishability, eternity, and happiness. Brahman is the beginning of transcendental realization. Paramatma, the supersoul, is the middle, the second stage in transcendental realization. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate realization of the Absolute Truth. Therefore, both Paramatma and the impersonal Brahman are within the Supreme Person. Right? So here we're bringing about that it's coming from Krishna. Well, before we're saying we have these three features, right? We discussed those, but now it's those other two are coming from the third. Okay, and then footnote 14. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 6.16.57, generally the Mayavadi philosophers or persons influenced by Mayavadi philosophers think themselves as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the cause of their conditional life. As stated, right, they think that by thinking like that they'll be liberated, but here's pointed out this is actually the cause why they're still in the material world. This is the cause of their conditional life. As stated by the Vaishnava poet, Jagadananda Pandit, in his Prema Vivarta, Krishna Bahirmukha Hoy Bhoga Vanchakare Nikata Stamaya Tare Japatiya Dhare. As soon as a living entity forgets his constitutional position and endeavors to become one with the Supreme, his conditional life begins. Right, so now you're saying that's where conditional life begins. Because, in other words, forgets his constituted position as servant, right? So, and endeavors to become one with the Supreme, which would mean to be the controller and enjoyer. Right? His conditional life begins. So that is the beginning of conditional life. That's where it starts. Does that make sense? So, that's that means then you're envious of Krishna.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that you've in other words, we're looking at, let us just digress for a moment into one of our popular topics. But in this more closed group, it may be more efficient. So the point that's being made here gives a very good key is that, as soon as living entity forgets his constitutional position, endeavors to become one of the Supreme, his conditional life begins. Now, you're in the spiritual situation. Right? So there's spiritual facilities and there's spiritual activities going on. But you haven't developed love for Krishna. It means you haven't come to that position of being totally, absolutely fixed in the Bhagavan understanding. You're in the neutral state. The neutral state is the Brahman state. Right? Does that make sense? So now, when we take up this idea that, well, I could use this for my own enjoyment, you may see Krishna doing that, so you take that up as your own enjoyment, but the level of your understanding and dealing is still on the Brahman platform. You understand? So, you've gotten envious of Krishna as Brahman. Does that make sense? Not specifically envious of the person, Krishna. Right? You become envious of him as the supreme controller or the supreme enjoyer. Right? So those qualities, those are the Brahman qualities. Does that make sense? You know, so when devotees say, well, you can't get envious of Krishna in the spiritual world, means on Bhagavan, you won't. Mm. That's not how you got here, because if you had gotten to that platform, you wouldn't have gotten envious in the first place. Mm.
That's an argument. If you're in prema, how are you going to become envious?
But you're not in prema. Mm-hmm. Means tathasta means neutral. Prema is not neutral. That's heavily biased. Mm. You know what I'm saying? You know, it means eternally biased. So you're not going to fall from there. Because it's saying being in the spiritual world means prema. But then that means, you know, Aristasura, he was in prema when he came into Vrindavan. And he was stepping on all things and it just is an ecstasy. And Agasura just was so absorbed in spiritual ecstasy, he just wanted to absorb more and more of the transcendental. So he was just, you know, trying to absorb, get as big as possible and absorb as much as possible. Right? No, there was no prema here. You know? But the point is you're envious of Krishna's position as the supreme enjoyer. But it's his position, not him as a person. Because you don't know the person. Mm. You know what I'm saying? But the person and his energies are non-different. Mm. Right? So therefore, you're envious of him.
So what would stop us from getting to that conclusion is that we'll be limiting space. I mean, if you are in the space where prema is permanent, you could not be in a Brahman conception. That's
no, you wouldn't. It means if by wanting to develop that relationship with Krishna, in other words, if Krishna is so happy and everyone's around him happy, and he's the natural source of happiness, you would want to get close to him. Therefore, you get the association of the eternal, you know, the eternally liberated associates. And by their association, you catch that mood, and that mood would mature into prema.
Okay.
Another one.
Yeah.
Okay. It's always during this class, isn't it?
Always that tree.
No, that's the next tree. Always? No, actually, you're right. It's the same tree. Maybe just
participate.
Very happy to participate. What else? How else does he do?
More.
Yeah. So see, now what else? How do you get your attention? Does that make sense? So so you're still acting from that position of neutrality, but it's not a positive. You're not working in a positive direction, so you don't go towards prema. You're working in a you're using the neutral state in a negative way. So actually, you've situated yourself materially.
Mm.
Right? You may still be dealing with superior energy, mm-hmm. but the consciousness is material.
Mm. Mm.
That's why you come down.
Yes.
Yeah. And from what location can it happen? I mean, I understand
it can happen. Location. You want latitude and longitude. You put it in your GPS. This is the spot that I told
you.
You can't fall from here. This is my spot. No, my mind says I fell from there also. Not possible. I already got this spot. Okay, you fall first and I'll fall. So we got to use the same space. Nope, I'm not sharing that space.
Because if we are neutral in this spiritual,
it means you are neutral. But the problem is can the jiva? That's what we were discussing before about the Brahman platform. Is that the jiva can't remain neutral without knowledge of the personality of Godhead. The Brahman platform without knowledge of the Supreme Person, then one will fall from there. So in other words, that doesn't matter the situation, whether you're situated in transcendence or within the material phenomena. If you only are appreciating the Brahman aspect without understanding of Bhagavan, then the risk of falling is there. You know what I'm saying? Because it's consciousness. It's not location.
So what's the original consciousness from where
is
neutral?
Tathasta means neutral.
So means from, I'm just trying to understand whatever is possible.
Okay.
Not everything. So we were created as neutral. Means it doesn't mean location.
No.
We leave it. And we can progress.
Doesn't mean time either.
Oh, so we can progress.
We're supposed to 9 out of 10 progress. 1 out
by
of 10.
Association? By what?
By desire. By desire, then there's association. You don't desire it, you don't get the association.
What if you get the desire from the person? Why?
Because it means on the liberated platform, you understand that the source of all everything is coming from the Lord.
Because so we have this knowledge.
You have the knowledge, but knowledge isn't enough. There has to be the interest to follow up on that and develop a relationship.
So we kind of rebellious souls. Normal ones go up and we just...
Bingo.
So
that's why the term is used, prison. Durga means prison. Because these are the rebellious souls that will create trouble if they're in any other location of the Lord's creation.
So the question of doesn't the jiva fall from there or there, it doesn't even arise, this question. It's not, it doesn't have a place.
You mean, does the jiva fall from?
That's the whole issue about for jiva.
No, because they're all talking time and space, which is already material consideration. So what is being argued basically on both sides is already a material concept. Okay, yeah, so that's what it is. So the thing is beyond that. So that's why it's not something to discuss.
So it doesn't matter where we came from.
The principle is this one line. As soon as the living entity forgets his constitutional position that I'm servant and endeavors to become one with the Supreme, you know, as controller or as enjoyer, or both, his conditional life begins. So it's just a matter of, it's just like, let us say you become a pure devotee in this lifetime, right? But it doesn't mean at that nanosecond that you become the pure devotee, then, you know, you just disappear. It's kind of like a... You know, then the other one says, oh no, he went back to God and he didn't came appear to God. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, but the thing is it's not happening, right? So one will finish one's whatever would be the natural term of life here, right? But you would be situated consciousness in the spiritual world, though the body is here. So the same thing is, since you're dealing with one energy, it can be the inverse, that you can be situated in the spiritual energy, but your consciousness is in the material world. So you just finish that lifetime, and then you come here. Just like you finish this lifetime, then you go there. You know, it's quite simple. But the problem is because we're so used to connecting everything with our conditioned values. You know, because the argument of the one is no, there can be no impurities, no this, no that. So it's basically more of a moralistic, because in neither of them there's really an argument over the nature of the soul. You know, the nature of the spiritual energy. It's more of you know, it's more of a thing of morality. So there can be none there, so you had to be here. You know what I'm saying? But of the two, the one that supports that one fell from the spiritual world, even though it may not be getting into such technical detail, it's still a stronger position because the Acharya says that and you're supporting the Acharya. So to go against that then is extremely dangerous. Does that make sense? Yes.
It's just difficult to understand because Krishna is very prominent as a person in the spiritual reality. And also the majority of the, I mean everybody, 9 out of 10, they're going towards him, then this one...
You ever been walk through the temple? Just observe who's there. You know, I mean, there's many there absorbed in the kirtan, and Prabhupada's going around looking at the deity. There's some other there saying, no, you know, like this and that, or something like this.
Same.
Krishna's right there, and they're SMSing. or checking out the girls, or checking out the boys, or talking politics, or you can be in front of the deity offering arctic and wondering, hey, did I turn off the gas? You know what I'm saying? So it's not proximity. It's not time and space. It's a matter of consciousness. Satila's right there. She might even come up and pick up Krishna and throw him out. But it doesn't... See, Krishna's always been there. It's just now that's been pointed out because we have gotten the association of those from the transcendental platform, as Krishna explains, only by hearing from him or his representatives. Now we can appreciate what's there. But you know, if it's not explained, one can not appreciate easily. The point is most want to appreciate, so they're given that opportunity. But it's just like you could say, why are there some... Most all gopis went to the rasa dance, but some didn't. Why not? Because they weren't that absorbed. You know what I'm saying? So that's on those who are dynamically moving forward. Yeah. Right? So the point is that it's just a matter of if you have that desire, then that will be cultivated. But if you don't, you're just happy there because it's a nice place. There's no problems. There's no threefold misery. So it's comfortable. That's why it says it's a position of happiness. So you're comfortable. It's good enough. And so, you know, you do all those things. Krishna's there and doing it. It's nice. It's nice to hear and all that. But it's just a matter of what you're doing in your, you know, activities is you're happy. Yagi Brahmins are just doing their yagyas, they're Brahmins, they're doing what they're supposed to do. And even Krishna is standing outside. They don't really notice it. It doesn't become prominent. The yagya is prominent. You know what I'm saying? It's the same principle. You're standing in the temple where you can be aware of the deities or not, even though they're right there. Because the point is that it's free will. So if you want, then there's so much opportunity. If you don't want, then there's also that opportunity. It's the same principle.
Maharaj, mm-hmm. We see the beauty of the teachings of the Acharya, Rupa Goswami, and the six principles. If you have someone to reveal your mind, you've always been, let's say, remember the path, remember when you're driving off.
The spiritual reality that even the neutral jivas and all the other jivas we're talking about, there are some, there are any point of different yogas being changed? Or
No, it means that the pastimes are always the pastimes. It's wherever the Lord is present, it's where that's there. Because where the Lord is performing is Bhoma Lila pastimes, it's where the Tathasta Shakti is functioning. The Tathasta Shakti is not functioning in Goloka or by Kunta. It's in Bhoma Vrindavan, in the Bhoma Lila. Because there, the Lord is there with his internal potency, the same time as Maya is there with the external potency. Right? And so the Jiva, can see both. Is that something?
And then when Lord,
you know, so when you're saying everybody, but that's everybody who's there in that path, but there's so many who are not.
Like now, the customs outcut me. So, involvement in that.
Yeah, it means where they're going on.
In Goloka?
No, in Gokul.
In Gokul Street, outcut?
They're going on somewhere. Because when it leaves here, it goes to the next universe. So as soon as Krishna breaks the pot here, it's already broken. The next universe, he's breaking the pot. And then the next universe, he's breaking the pot. That's why it says eternal. You know what I'm saying? Like you have a tour. You know, you do the show, then you would go to the next city, then you do it again, then go to the next city. So it's just it goes from
Christmas
so traveling.
The citizens
would be free if they're still there, and if those were well left.
Meaning when the pastime winds up, then everybody goes to wherever they go. You know, the eternal associates go with them, or the others who have now perfected life will go back, you know, go to Golok, and those who weren't so interested, then, yeah, they remain there. So the opportunity, when it goes on, and now they, like, then it's just them. Yeah. Yeah.
Some have joined the crew.
Yes.
To what extent can we infer when it says Krishna Bahirmukha? That means literally that one turns one's face away from Krishna. So does this imply that we are looking at Krishna in the first place?
Basically, because, I mean, if you're on the liberated platform, all there is Krishna. Uh-huh. But you turn your face away from that, it's all about Krishna, and you try to control and enjoy it yourself. Right? So that's Bahirmukha. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of consciousness as Bahirmukh, not whether you're facing Krishna or not. Like Shishupal would be considered Bahirmukh, even though he's looking right at Krishna and saying all kinds of things, but he's not recognizing Krishna, you know, who he is and all that. So he's outside, okay. Actually.
Yeah.
As soon as the living entity forgets his constitutional position and endeavors to become one with the Supreme, his conditional life begins. The conception that the Supreme Brahman and the living entity are equal not only in quality but also in quantity is the cause of conditional life. If one forgets the difference between the Supreme Lord and the living entity, his conditional life begins. So that's why also when you're giving the hierarchy, you know, the Mayavadi is on the bottom because he thinks he's, you know, one with the Lord and makes no distinction. So therefore, then he just is entangling himself more in conditional life. And a pious person at least is doing something that could end up in a better position. But the Mayavadi is not. Because if you're going to be one with the Lord, so there's no qualities, there's no action, there's no form, there's no nothing, then you'd have to basically take birth as an immovable living entity. Does that make sense? That would be the next natural step. But the pious person may get, you know, elevated, you know, the better position, and go to heavenly planets or something like that. So there's an opportunity of coming in contact with devotional service.
The Mayavadi is still eligible to enter into Brahmajyoti temporarily.
Technically we use the term Mayavadi, but Mayavadis I don't think ever get out of the material world.
No,
because they're not actual Brahmavadis. Because they're Shunyavadis. Because they say there's nothing like that. Because whatever you see here doesn't exist. It's an illusion. What we're saying is that this is a real building. That's the illusion. It's a building. But it's a real building when you see a connection to Krishna. But if you don't see a connection to Krishna, it's not actually a building. Because buildings are meant to serve Krishna. Does that sound like sense? So it exists, but we are not appreciating its transcendental position. So that's Maya. While the Mayavadis will just say there's nothing actually here. There isn't anything. It's just all, you know, Brahman, but doesn't include all this. So this can't be Brahman. So a real Brahmavadi, yeah, this is brick and mortar pillar Brahman. Right? And that's blanket Brahman, and this is rock Brahman, but it's all Brahman. It's the same substance. Right? Like that, so there's a difference. They could go to the Brahmacharya. But Mayavadis, they're just offenses, so I don't think they get anywhere. You know, except immovable living objects.
I met some of one of his sadhana. He bought a painting from Ras Lila painting from an ISKCON temple, and he was like trying to become that. That was his
goal. Yeah, well, that's the thing. Become one, but if there's no qualities, why become the Ras Lila? Why, you're just supposed to just have a blank wall, and I become that. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point. They want to become one with the Supreme, meaning that they want to enjoy, to control and enjoy. It's like that. So they're not actually really real. Just the bullock cart came in, and then two boys were where the bulls normally were. So. Got some new bullets.
They transformed.
Yeah. And the bulls are up cooking lunch.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it okay to like the bulls?
To ride them.
Means, so is that for your... Huh? No. There's no bulls.
Oh, the
boys are pulling the bullock cart.
Is that okay?
Seems to work.
Maybe they're just getting the position according to the mentality?
I think it was just that they needed to bring something a short distance, so it'd be easier to pull it themselves than to pick up the bulls.
Pull out of the kitchen.
Yeah. They decided to pull the car, right? And the bulls were cool with the cooking, so it worked out. If one forgets the difference between the Supreme Lord and the living entity, his conditioned life begins. Because if you can't tell the difference, how do you have a relationship? So there must be a difference. So if it's the same, then it won't. Okay. Conditional life means giving up one's body to accept another and undergoing death to accept death again. The Mayavadi philosopher teaches the philosophy of Tattvamasi, saying, you are the same as God. He forgets that Tattvamasi applies in terms of the marginal position of the living entity, who is like sunshine. There is heat and light in the sun, and there is heat and light in the sunshine. Thus, they are qualitatively one, but one should not forget that the sunshine rests on the sun. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Brahmanohi Pratishtaham, Bhagavad Gita 14:27. I am the original source of Brahman. The sunshine is important because of the presence of the sun glow. It is not that the sun glowed is important because of the all-pervasiveness of the sunshine. And it's the other way around. Because they say all-pervasive, therefore Brahman is important. Right? Forgetfulness and misunderstanding of this fact is called Maya.
They're called Mayavadis because they're in Maya.
Yes. Like that. But, yeah, that's how we look at it. They got Mayavadi because their point is this: everything that you can perceive is Maya. So therefore, that's why they're Mayavad. Yeah.
Do they call themselves Mayavadi?
Yeah, it means these terms we use is what they call themselves. Like that. You know, like the Sahajis, that they call themselves Sahajis.
Do they call us Vaishnavas?
Yeah, generally. Because of forgetfulness of one's constitutional position and that of the Supreme Lord, one comes into Maya or samsara, conditional life. Okay, so he's the basis of the Brahman. So if that's forgotten, that he's the basis, and you think that there's a oneness like that, and don't understand the difference. In other words, there is oneness, but there's also difference. So if you only see, that's why when Prabhupada says exclusive monism, it means you only see the oneness. You don't also see the difference. Then that will be mundane. That will bind us in the material world. Lesson 11. Parma is his plenary portion, who pervades the whole existence. 5:17. Besides these two, there's the greatest living personality, the Supreme Soul, the imperishable Lord himself, who has entered the three worlds and is maintaining them. All right, so here's the localized manifestation of the Lord in entering the world. When he just pervades the world, that's the Brahman. But when he's then the localized, then that's Paramatma. Right? Because we're not considering him as a person, what he likes to do. All we know is that he's the one who observes and sanctions. But, you know, what is he like observing? What is he like sanctioning? That's not the discussion. If that's the discussion, that's Bhagavan. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So Paramatma basically is observing, is the rules are such that what Bhagavan likes, that's what you should be doing. What Bhagavan doesn't like, that's what you avoid doing. Right? But within the things Bhagavan doesn't really like, then this way of doing it is not as bad as that way. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So then you get these lower, lesser, and lesser, like that.
But here,
Paramatma
is better.
Portion
who can waste the home existence? That's the Brahman. Who?
No, but he as the localized Paramatma, he pervades everything. He's in every atom, between every atom. So that doesn't leave. That doesn't really leave any space left. So he's all pervading. So Brahman is all pervading, Paramatma is all pervading.
Just the form is different?
No, one is just the qualities and the other is the form. You know, because the qualities is just, they exist, so they're the power of everything that's working. But then sanctioning what you are able to be involved in or not, and what results you'll get or not, that's Paramatma. Right? In other words, one is the situation, the other is what you do in the situation.
And the
you know what I'm saying? That all the buildings here and all these things are here, that's Brahman. But that you're here in this place and doing something, then that's by the sanction of Paramatma.
And then the one you're doing it to please, that's Paramatma?
Yeah, you're doing that to please the Lord, it's devotion, says Paramatma. So all three are there. You know what I'm saying? So you want to speak, but then that means the modes of nature have to arrange that, but that's been sanctioned by Paramatma. Right? So then you're speaking or hearing. Right? And then because we're doing that to please Krishna, therefore it's devotion. So all three are going on at once. So the devotion already includes the other two. But just so that we can distinguish properly, you know, the finer detail, then we are discussing them one by one. So that we know where the strength is or the weakness in our devotion. Yes.
So according to the living entity's consciousness, then we see one, two, or three.
Yeah, or zero.
Zero.
Transcendent.
Means if we don't see, means the person who's just in illusion doesn't see any of them.
Atheism would be zero.
No. Means you don't see. Means like, you know, is the potence, is the hardness of this rock God? We just think the rock is hard. That's illusion. So that's material.
So it means
perception.
No connection at all. It
means you're connected, but you don't perceive that connection. Right? So that's mine. Everybody's situated in Brahman, so there's no question they're not connected, but they can't see or appreciate that. So to that degree they see that, to that degree they're God conscious. Like, you know, there might be a religious person and he understands, you know, God has created everything and he's the controller and, you know, he oversees good and bad. You do good work, you'll get good results. Bad work, get bad results. So in those areas that he is aware of that, he's more God conscious. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, whatever, it's just like you have the Orthodox, then they have a barucha for everything. You know, you see a man who's lame, or something that you say. If you see this, you say that. That's, you know, that's what they do all day, is just saying baruchas, right? So the idea is that way they're more and more God conscious. The whole idea is that you'll always be seeing the Lord. But still, those baruchas are only in areas of their own interest, right? You know, there's not like, you know, a barucha for someone who's Brahman realized, or, you know, stuff like that. You know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's within a particular context of a particular kind of conditioning, but it does afford more God consciousness. So they will be more God conscious. But it's not that because they're saying the Barucha, that's what's making them God conscious. It's because they're God conscious, they're saying the Barucha. Yeah, understand. So that means technically you could have someone who may not be saying, be God conscious and not saying a Barucha. They're saying something else or thinking something else. You know what I'm saying? So that way is God conscious. So it is one method to create a particular, a certain level of God consciousness, you know, in that particular situation.
Can we say in this connection that neophyte like Kanishka Vajan and Uttama, they see more of a personal aspect?
Yes, they'll see more of a personal. It means, in other words, the decisions on what they do or don't do and how they consider will be more of the personal. Yeah, so that's what we're saying, is that prema means you've perfected that Bhagavan realization. So uttama means it's almost there. Madhya means it's very solid and it's moving dynamically. Kanista means we're aware of it, but sometimes we're more aware and sometimes we're not because of our distraction by our own material desires. So that's why I said the kanista is also called prakriti. Because he's seeing prakriti, or the external energy. But as he starts to not see external energy, or in maya, it means opportunities to enjoy, he just sees the opportunities to serve Krishna, then that brings it to the madhya platform.
And then Krishna as a person.
It means that in all cases, the only reason you're doing this is because Krishna is the person. All right, but it's just, that's, it will be less, you know, so like we're doing something, I think they do that. Oh no, that's bad. I shouldn't do that. You haven't necessarily thought of Krishna as a person, and he as a person wouldn't like it. That's why it's bad. It's that it's bad and you get a bad reaction. You know, so it's rules and duties, or, you know, good and bad. So it's more of a consideration of Paramatma or just the quality itself. You know, if it's duties, then it would be more Paramatma. It's just the quality of, you know, good and bad. That would be more of a mind. So we're always aware, but it's just if we are connecting it to Krishna, then you're dealing with transcendence. If we're not dealing with Krishna, then, you know, we're dealing on the material platform. Maybe a better material platform. Does that make sense? You know, if it's like, well, I don't feel like going to Mangalarti today, you know, a little tired and that, but if I don't go, then the others might criticize and all that, and, you know what I'm saying? But Krishna hasn't really come into the conversation here.
Yeah.
So it's just social considerations. You know what I'm saying? So it's still material. Mm-hmm. But that you're discussing Mangalarti that is connected to Krishna, mm-hmm. then there's some touch on the spiritual. So there's even a consideration. So even if you go to Mangalarti just because everybody else won't criticize there for it, still you're getting spiritual benefit because the Mangalarti is connected to Krishna. Right, but the thing is the volume of benefit that you can get is a bit clouded by the volume of material considerations. So that's why it's called mixed devotional service, because it's mixed. We have the desire to please Krishna as a person, but we also have these other aspects to desire to please ourselves as a person. And that person means the body.
And if we say that we like to go to Mangalarti because we like it, still the same mix, because Mangalarti is not so much enjoyable for
the materialistic
person.
But when you say you enjoy it, what does that mean, enjoy it?
You like it.
You like it, but what do you like about it? What is that? What is there to like?
No,
music and the deities. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm saying you bring it, if you continue the discussion, then you have to get to something that's generating an experience.
So it's the Lord.
Ultimately, it's the Lord. So if you continue it, you'll get there, but you might only get partially there. So how closer you get, that's the more advanced understanding. The less close it gets. But the point is that it's connected to the Lord. You know what I'm saying? So even if the kids, the teenagers are going to the temple only because they can show off what they look like and try to catch somebody's attention, but because they're going to the temple and they're there in front of the deity and taking part in that process, they're getting some spiritual benefit, but they're also, you know, getting that mixed benefit also. So the material side is being cultivated. So if they're not careful, then it'll generate weeds, and then those weeds may choke the creeper. So then the weed becomes more important. So if you can get somebody's attention not being in the temple, you'll do that and not go to the temple. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So you're cultivating whatever. But if you like to be at the temple, but while you're at the temple, you can also do this, then you're then more going. But at one point, you need to kind of start making a decision. Does that make sense? So the spiritual process still works as long as you take part in it. The problem is the weeds make it where you don't take part. The weed chokes the creeper, so it's not being addressed. Right? Because the weeds, and the fun part is the weeds look like the creeper. You know, so have you ever seen the guys weeding rice? And there's a water and there's all this grass growing out of that. But they go through, they know which one's rice and which one's the weed. But they look the same. You know, if we told you, hey, go there and pick, you may not know the difference. But they can tell the difference. So that's why the study is there, so that we know exactly what's material and exactly what's spiritual. It's not sentimental. It's not that you just, it's devotion to Krishna, you just go in there and pull out whatever you like. No. You know, you pull out the weeds, leave the rice. That's devotion.
That's what people misunderstand when they say we don't care for the rules, we just chant Hare Krishna.
Yeah, because that's fine if we don't care for the rules and just chant Hare Krishna. Haridas Thakur would basically do like that, though he would follow, yeah, you know, etiquettes and stuff like that. But then the point is then, you know, 9 o'clock happens and then you don't see them until the next morning.
Yeah.
So where's the chanting then? You know what I'm saying? If they just go home and sit, spend the rest of the day chanting, okay, we'll listen to them saying we don't care for the rules.
Probably not all of them do that.
Yes, but there's a good chance that you know, so when you're chanting, okay, if you don't care about the rules, that's fine, but when you're not chanting, then what? You know what I'm saying?
Maharaj, just for understanding, the devotee who is going to Mangalada just as a duty, because he's a devotee, he should go. So this is on Paramatma level.
Yeah, but we generally don't, we're only doing it because we're discussing this, we're using that. Mm-hmm. But generally we would identify that's Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Mm-hmm. That's what Mataji says, you're going because you like going to Mangalarti, as long as it's something spiritual. You like, you know, being there, seeing the deities, or being with the devotees, or singing for the Lord. But if it's just like you like to be there because you got so many new saris and you want to show them off, then that's not exactly, I wouldn't call that Raganuga Bhakti. Maybe Raganuga sociality, but not Raganuga Bhakti. Right? But you're going just because you're supposed to, it's the rules. So then technically, yes, it's the Paramatma.
And he's going, because if you go, then Lord will be pleased.
Yes, but then Lord will be pleased, and that's there. But we'll generally put them all together. Hmm. The nice thing is, because we're reading all this, Prabhupada puts them all together. Yeah. But as you see, as we go through, sentence by sentence, there is a distinction between them. Mm-hmm. At the same time, there's a non-difference. So we will say, well, you know, you're supposed to go there, and it's pleasing to Krishna. So we've done both, you know. It's Brahma Muhurta, so it's the, you know, most auspicious, it's spiritual, you know, it's our duty, you know, like that, as devotees, and it pleases us. So you've done all three. So devotees, without knowing, generally say all three. You know, they can't distinguish, so it's fine. You know, because if I say, okay, so you're going there just because it's a spiritual atmosphere. You don't really care that it's a duty or that, you know, it pleases Krishna. No, like that. Or you're going just because it's, you know, it's the rule, but you don't really care if it pleases Krishna or not. No, of course we want to please. So devotees know that the Bhagavan level is the highest. And that's actually what they want. They just can't always distinguish it. And because of this, sometimes then the devotional service isn't as solid as it could be, because there's something, some weakness there where it could have been better. You know, some material aspect is there, so they're not keeping it on the transcendental platform. You know, and so ultimately, you're trying to get to the Bhagavan as the ultimate transcendental platform. But if not, the elements of Brahman and Paramatma can be used because they're non-different than Krishna; they're Him. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart and is directing the wandering of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. All activities of the living did we finish this? No, we didn't finish the footnote. We're still in the footnote.
No, we finished the footnote.
We finished the footnote.
1061.
Oh, okay. All activities of the living entities are directed by this Supersoul. Arjuna was not the supreme knower, and his decision to fight or not fight was confined to his limited discretion. Lord Krishna instructed that the individual soul is not all in all. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, or He Himself, Krishna, as a localized Supersoul, sits in the heart directing the living being. After changing bodies, the living entity forgets his past deeds. But the Supersoul is the knower of the past, present, and future, remains the witness of all his activities. Therefore, all the activities of living entities are directed by the Supersoul. The living entity gets what he deserves and is carried by the material body, which is created in the material energy under the direction of the Supersoul. Right, so there, living gets what he deserves and is carried by the material body, which is created by the material energy under the direction of the Supersoul. Right, so material energy creates it. She makes it all work, but under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Right, because he said how it should work. So. The living entity is not independent. One should not think himself independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The individual is always under the Lord's control. Okay, footnote. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to Bhagavatam 8.3.17, only Krishna can deliver us from this material existence. Indeed, he is always trying to deliver us. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridesher tridesher junatishtati. He is within our hearts and is not at all inattentive. Right, so he's not inattentive. We're the ones that are inattentive.
Important point.
Yeah. His only aim is to deliver us from material life. It is not that he becomes attentive to us only when we offer prayers to him, right? So he cares whether we care or not. You know, because we get worried about it. You know, that, oh, does Krishna care? No, he's that. Otherwise, why would he come and sit in your heart and watch everything? Like, now you're a worm in stool, right? You know, so he's sitting there. You know, so it's not that. Why would he be sitting there? Because we haven't run across a lot of worms in stool that were, you know, greatly Krishna conscious, and therefore we hear their stories in the Puranas and other Vedic literatures, right? Does that make sense? So Krishna's there, so it must mean he cares.
Right. So then why sometimes devotees complain that Krishna doesn't care so much, this, that,
because it's fruitive.
Does that mean they don't care?
No, they do care.
About himself.
Right. See, what Krishna is attentive to the other person. So we'll tend to be inattentive about ourselves or attentive about ourselves, but we generally tend to be inattentive about the Lord. So devotional service, self-realization means we've been awoken to the fact of attentiveness to the Lord. So when we're attentive to the Lord, generally we're not, you know, overly attentive to ourselves. And when we're overly attentive to ourselves, we tend to be not attentive to the Lord. Right? So if they say he doesn't care, this, that. That is, that he does care. But you have worked, and you may have done those things that you have gotten the understanding that others have done this, and they got all kinds of material benefits. But you're not getting them. Right? But the thing is, this is something bigger to understand. What means Krishna knows what will happen if you do get them. And so, will it be beneficial? You know, it's just like I said, we had that one, probably had one disciple to Babaji. Because he had, I'm not sure what he had maybe it was leukemia or something. It was terminal. He was given, I think, 1 year to live or something. So then Prabhupada gave Babaji, he stayed here in Mayapur, just chanting. And that. And then after a year, I guess, he was feeling good. You know, I guess his visa, he had to go for visa, went for a checkup. And when he went and the doctors checked, whatever it was, you know, in remission or that, so he was fine. So the last time devotees saw him was in some kind of convertible car, in his t-shirt and sunglasses, with a bunch of ladies in the car with him, driving down the road with big grins on their faces. So that was the last we ever heard of Babaji Maharaj. Right? So in other words, Krishna gives the material benefit and you go away, then what's the benefit of getting that benefit? If you really want to become Krishna conscious. Mm-hmm. So he might not. Or it may be he'd like to give it, but you don't have the piety. You know, you still have reactions that you need to be purified from previously, so you don't deserve it at this time.
Because devotees, usually they think devotional and piety are the same.
That's it means that they're interpreting Krishna consciousness as religion, yeah, only. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, religion is supposed to give good material reward. So that's why the philosophy is necessary. That's why it says philosophy without religion is speculation. Religion without philosophy would be sentiment or fanaticism. So those things, you can change religion. Right? But you don't change. Sanatan Dharma doesn't change. So it's not that whatever your situation, as the situation changes, it changes. It's always the same. But religion you can change. It means you can't. Sanatan means the eternal religion and the eternal nature of things you can't change. Because that's made in the primary creation. But what rituals you will follow to express the nature, that can change. Is that right? So that's a good point. Because you're following sadhana for devotional development, for developing love for Krishna. We're not following sadhana because it will give us material benefit. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say, I'm at the business and I'm putting my attention into the business. Right? Now, that makes the business grow. Right? Now, let's say, as part of my life, business is part of my life, but also vacationing is part of my life. So now I'm out somewhere and I'm skiing on some slope somewhere and it's really good powder and it's really happening. Is it making my business grow? No. So the point is if you're doing sadhana that makes your devotion to Krishna grow, why would that make your material facility better? You know what I'm saying? Just logically. Not that it doesn't, because devotional service includes that, so automatically it does get better. But it only gets better if we will maintain Krishna consciousness. Just like, because that's what it mentions, it says, if Krishna is kind to you, then, if you're sincere, he takes everything away. Right? But if you're more sincere, then he gives you everything. But the point is then you won't be distracted. And like Sudama Brahma had more opulence than Indra. Or Bali Maharaj had more opulence than Indra. Because it doesn't distract them from their devotion. So Krishna would like to give all the facility, just that if he does, then who knows? You know, be convertible formula.
Okay. Same way to Prabhupada. Same way to Prabhupada, gave blessings to Prabhupada.
Yeah, but at the same time, he took everything away. But it's but then when he just got into the direct, when he went to the West and that, then everything came. But still, it was trouble. Mm-hmm. But it just came naturally.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jaya Shrimati Bhagavate Ki. Jaya Samaveda Bhaktivedanta Ki. Jaya Jainata Gaurav.